Hello, everyone. I am your host, the Reverend Godfather, and welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about all about the small show. It's not going to be me ranting and raving as I would do is right now, but the episode, in essence, was primarily recorded on the way home from Halloween last week. So that's what you'll be hearing. In reference to bad audio, which I do apologize. And Matt, if you're listening to this episode, I do apologize for the jokes. Matt was a big sport last week in reference to Halloween. We picked on him hard. So thank God he had a great sense of humor. You'll hear the jokes and the in-jokes in the episode as it goes on. Again, I apologize for the bad audio. It was recorded on the way home from Halloween. We had a great time. More on that when me and Big Candy get back together in the next week or so. So, take care, guys. See you on the other side of the recording. Hey, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia. We are, as you can hear, the audio quality is kind of different from our regular episodes. That's because we are on the road. As for introductions, as you know, I am the Reverend Godfather, and with me right now on the road, heading back into the lovely hairy infected armpit of America, is Big Candy.
Hello.
It's just again, as usual, it's just us this week. Time around. Zombie Bunny is not with us because we're heading back from Mellow.
Somewhere in the Arctic Circle.
Well, we're heading back from the charity event that was helped put on by Matt Burns himself. The charity event was Melloween. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode when we interviewed Mel herself. So it was a very interesting event. Right now, it's, I think, after, what, 6:30?
Yeah.
It's about 6. It's 7 o'clock.
I don't know how.
But the aspect of it is, right now they're doing a whole bunch of their music acts. And we left. We saw a little bit of the first act. It was pretty good, pretty decent.
Screaming Kitty. What was the name of the band?
Something like that. Screaming Bad or Kitty or something like that. It was even though it was a quiet show, a small show, charity event. It was, people were coming in. There were a few people that were spending money. They were having movies playing, as you saw in our live broadcast a few weeks ago, when we were at the event. They were playing movies while the event was going on. We saw at the event John Russo, who was the one of the founding fathers of the modern zombie genre. No, we didn't get an interview with him. It would have been a little bit difficult because not that he
was pretty busy.
Yeah, he was pretty busy for the most part, and when I asked him about it, it's that he said he's been through so many podcasts, and that a lot of the questions that I probably would have had for him would have been the same old questions.
And you say no, it wouldn't be. Have you seen?
No, I can't really say that right now. I don't know. Stay tuned. We'll probably be having her over the next couple of months or so.
Hashtag Matt Burns O-Face.
Hey, you said it, not me. Like I said, it was a very fun and interesting event, considering we were probably picking on Matt Burns throughout the whole entire day. We did meet up with the Sasha Princess of Darkness herself. She did show up. Surprisingly enough, because this is a casual podcast this week and casual show, she does want to do probably one of these days. We'll hammer out the details between us and her. She wants to do a kind of in-studio type of show with us. So it's one of those things that we'll hammer out the details.
She's very knowledgeable about many things and easy to talk to.
And as you heard in the several podcasts that she was in with us, that they are entertaining and very informative. So it could be one hell of a team up, in-studio team up. Well, again, that's probably down the road. We'll see the who's, the what's, when's, and the where's. And because sometimes with my current schedule and everybody else's schedules, we'll have to see what else.
Mine's open.
Even though we'll probably cover it in the host, well, we'll cover a little bit about it here. What do you think about small shows like what Matt's trying to do?
I think they're essential. I think that it gives vendors a good chance to get out there and sell things. Like we were talking to a couple gentlemen before we left, and the problem with some of the bigger shows is they'll get like, you know, upwards of 30 guests or something like that, and it doesn't leave a lot of room for the vendors to make any money, you know, because everybody's already blown their wad, you know, per se on the actors and actresses, which, I mean, they should. I mean, those people deserve it too, but, you know, it doesn't leave a lot of room if you have, like, you know, 60 vendors sitting there like, oh, well, you know, I already spent all my money on so-and-so, sorry, you know. But, you know, we got to drag all of our stuff out and drag it all back home. We would like something to show for it. Now, that's not to say that the vendors don't make money. We do. But, you know, that would be one of the nicer things about the small shows is that, you know, the table fees aren't that much. And, you know, the guest list isn't like 12 miles deep. So you actually stand to actually make a little bit of money. The actors make a little bit of money. And everybody goes home happy. Plus, Matt, he puts on a hell of a nice show where it's just laid back. And that's more than anybody can ask for. If, like, you're going to be spending a day or, like, a couple of days at a small show, you don't want to be, like, have it be a hassle. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. What a lot of you listeners don't realize is that at a bigger show, like, not necessarily a San Diego, where that the numbers that I'll probably be saying and tossing out there are probably way, way, way higher. But conventions like a Wizard World or a Baltimore or an Awesome Con or even a New York City Comic Con, the tables, the main vendor area, the tables could start out at roughly $1,000 and go up to maybe $10,000 to $14,000, depending on the space. And several articles have been online talking about this. And I'm not talking about the Onion.com. We're talking about several reputable sites, some being comicbook.com and sites like that, that are industry standards talking about conventions. So vendor tables are not cheap. Smaller conventions like what Matt Burns puts on, as Big Candy said, the table fees are between, depending on the show and the venue, they could be as low as $25 to maybe $150, depending on the show. And if it's a local show, it's a great way for new vendors to cut their teeth, learn on a smaller scale, so if they do have the money for a bigger show, they have some baseline knowledge of what's going on. But the other good thing about smaller shows like what Matt Burns puts on is that not many people can make it to a major metropolitan type city like New York City or Orlando or Vegas or Baltimore or Washington. So what Matt provides is a way for the average Joe geek or Jane geek to go to a show and experience the same type of ordeal that the bigger shows put on. But I think some of the people, I think the article at least I read, that there is some fears that people like Matt will get bigger and bigger and bigger and push out more of the little folks. Well, do you see something like that happening?
No, for Matt, I think what Matt will do is he'll just continue to do a couple small shows a year. And, you know, even his big shows are still comparatively small shows. Like, his big show he has in September. It's a big deal for all of us, especially the vendors, and, you know, because it's vendor heavy. He only has, like, what, 8 guests, like 9 guests, something like that. And that's good because they're high-profile guests. I mean, he's got the chicken plate Rita from the Power Rangers. He's got a Power Ranger. He's got Mark McKenna's going to be there, who did some stunning artwork. And I probably shouldn't say anything for a promotional flyer for that, or a poster that will be available for sale. But, I mean, he's got, it's a solid lineup, but at the same time, like, you know, the vendors get their chance too. So I see him doing this twice a year, something like this, or maybe a one-off like this one show that he did here. He comes from a background similar to what I'm akin to, which is punk rock shows and music shows. So his whole thing is, his ethics are really DIY based, like, you know, homegrown. Like, he's not coming at you from the perspective of somebody who's like a, I don't know, don't do it. Oh, that was close. I love how I'm going like 75 miles an hour and a guy has got to pass me. Anyway. What was I saying?
Kind of the higher profile promoters.
Yeah, he with the punk rock stuff, he's doing, it's all DIY. It's all like home base, homegrown. He does his own flyers. You know, if not, he gets somebody he knows to print them or draw them, or, you know, he's the one on the phone calling the people. He's the one doing it. It's not some company. If you call, you know, Matt Burns, you're calling Matt Burns. You're not calling his secretary. That's the thing with that kind of show. You know, the ones that he puts on, and the ones that other small, like, promoters put on, like toy shows and things like that. It's like you're talking to the person setting up the show. And it's you can make your money back quicker and easier, and you, like, especially just looking at it from a vendor's perspective. Like, if I go, I got one in Williamsburg coming up in July. It's Scares the Care weekend. Now I'm gonna have to chip, you know, if I don't sleep in the van, I gotta chip in for a hotel, food for 3 days, you know, and my wife may or may not come, I don't know. But, you know, even if it's just me, like a hotel and food, and then on top of that, the table fee, which I've already paid, but those are, you know, like $175, $200, you know, I gotta make almost $350, $400 right there just to break even for the show. So, you know, I go down there, and I'm hoping that there's going to be people that want to spend money. Now, I'm hoping that there's going to be, like, the guests are going to be fair. Like, it's not going to be, like, too much. Hopefully, like, they're not charging too much. And that's the good thing about when Matt does a show, too, is, like, the guests typically don't charge like they charge at the bigger shows. Like, the bigger shows, like, you know, you get guests charging $60, $80, $100 an autograph. At his show, I mean, what did what's his face charge today?
I think the poster, the mini poster I picked up was $20, and he signed it.
Yeah.
And I know he had a couple of, even though he has the original scripts,
right.
But he. Now, it's one of the things I would say, you know what, it's not, even though it's not an original script, you're getting a script, the actual script from the movie, I think they might have been like $40.
Right, and that's beyond fair. Like, you know, to have him, to buy an original script from him, who, like, is responsible for it, and have him autograph it for the same price, that's beyond fair. For a bigger show, I'm guessing, like, you know, a Monster Mania or something like that, he can charge even a little bit more. But that's the beauty of a little show. Like, you know, he knows that he can charge like a little bit and still make a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's really good. It's good for everybody. It's nice that Matt does this stuff. It's nice that all the small promoters do this stuff. It gives the vendors a chance to get out there and you know, like you said, you know, try different things, or you know, even people that like are just getting into it. Like when I got into it last year, like I couldn't just lay down $200-$300 and like take a risk. You know, that would have been crazy. But you know, to pay like you know $35, $40, $50. You know, actually come out, you know, good from a show. I mean, it was very encouraging, and it just shows me that even in a small show, I can make a little bit of a profit. And
even something with, granted, we're talking to you guys, and it's just a general discussion with between me and B Candy. It allows someone like myself to try out different things that might work promotional wise for the show. And not to mention, I'm sure you could probably agree with it, this as well, that it allows someone like us to not only meet up with you, the fans, but network with other people that are there, the other podcasters, if there's other YouTubers that might be there, other vendors who are willing to kind of put out a flyer on their table. It allows a lot of pollination, so to speak, or cross-pollination. Does it always work? No. I think me and Big Candy kind of agree that not everything works for everyone. It's kind of hit and miss. There are a lot of things that, for myself, that could oddly work, and for some ungodly reason work for me, but if Big Candy tries it, it will not work at all, and vice versa. And there is room for middle ground? Yes. There is. But there has to be a way to find that middle ground. What me and Big Candy do is not an easy task behind the scenes. There are phone calls sometimes. There are emails, texts. There are to let you guys at home. It's like I could do the same type of promotion during the week, and I could see our numbers for the show go up. Do the same thing the next week and not see a dang hit, and it's always hard. It's never easy, but it's a way for us to test the waters and try different things. What were you gonna say?
I said, like we were talking about earlier today, like a lot of the content places like YouTube and stuff, they make it hard for us. They make it hard with their algorithms and the different ways that you can promote, Facebook promotion, YouTube promotion, all that stuff. They make it really hard to get your name out there amongst the whole crowd of other people doing exactly the same thing you're doing.
And the reason why Big Candy says that is because when you have a show like ours on Facebook, in order to promote it, we have to try to avoid click. If you're on Instagram and you are a Instagram model or promoting a show or business, one of the first few things that you get every now and again as a podcaster on Instagram or on Facebook is these ads for instant likes. I'm going to say that there's a mixed bag for this. From a promoter's show standpoint, I don't like them because in the long run, even though it going to someone who might be bigger than Matt, it might say, hey, this person has great numbers, let's let them in. But for me, the natural interaction amongst the people who are actual fans is not that high. But where it's beneficial is because I've heard one or two stories that it was a father son deal or father daughter deal, and the father paid for likes on his kid's page to make his kid feel more special. That, I'm going to say that's different. You want to make your kid happy. There's nothing, I'm going to say there's probably nothing wrong with that. Would you say, kind of agree with that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard it. Big Candy did kind of agree. But it, what with Facebook is the same thing. You do get a lot of click farms or out of kind of the Middle East and Asia. And what these click farms are starting to do, they're getting, even though a lot of them are blocked on Facebook, they're getting smart. The people that run these farms are getting smart, and they're opening up servers here in the States that are remotely controlled in these other countries, and they're instructing their quote-unquote employees or their workers to randomly like other pages as well, so it they can avoid the Facebook bots that would normally kick them out. And again, these type of click farms are bad for businesses here that are trying to do natural earnings on Facebook. It's very difficult, and I've known people like Big Candy has promoted some stuff. He's gotten a lot of clicks and a lot of likes on some of the stuff he's promoted, and yet I could do the same damn thing and nothing,
yeah.
And vice versa. So
the only place that's still kind of honest is the likes that you get on Instagram.
For the most part, depends on the hashtag.
Well, unless it's you get the ever loving robots on there that like. Well, if you get one, you get 10.
No,
it sucks.
That's what someone was telling me about Instagram too. That I've been noticing on Instagram. He said a lot of these people that comment nice, right. Groovy, very cool, and it's usually on the weirdest shit.
Right.
You could put up a photo of
your grandmother has AIDS.
Yeah, it's a picture of your grandmother. And it's like 50 years ago. You get the comment, this is a nice drawing.
Yeah.
This is a very cool photo. And it's always usually a business or some sort of person that wants you to listen to their mixtape.
Yep.
A lot of these are hidden. I'm not saying all of them are.
Yeah.
But they're a hype. It's come to my attention through various sources that a good portion of them are bots disguised as valid Instagram accounts. So it's kind of hard. It's like for those of you out there getting who are on Facebook, getting these profiles with one or two. They have no friends.
Yeah.
And they have like three. It was like started last week or last month or last year. And they have no friends. Three photos. All of them in bikinis. And come see more of my photos at this cam site. You know, it's. I had that today. It was like friend request, and it was like one other friend, and it was like come see my cam site. So it's like no.
I'm not paying for that. I can just go to camsluts.com. I mean,
Go to mattsoface.com.
Yep, mattsoface.com. That's where the camsluts.com are.
So, and Matt's never living that. He will never live that down.
I bought the movie.
That's right, Big Candy bought the movie. It has been signed for most of the people that were in it, for the exception of Matt Burns himself, because we were messing with him all day. Matt is a sport. I'm going to say that right now. He took all the ribbing and all the roasting like a champ today. And so,
hey, Matt, how'd you do that? Do what? It was your pants on.
But again, Mel was a sweetheart. I did enjoy doing the interview with her. If you haven't listened to it,
aren't you going to tag it on the end of this episode?
I'll put it as a separate episode.
Oh.
Because it was at least 15 minutes. I'll put it up as it is. But she was a sweetheart. We had a wonderful interview. We hope, because we're recording this on the way home, we hope she did very well this evening. If you guys, again, if you guys haven't heard it yet and you're new to the show, please go back and download that episode and listen to it. I had a very enjoyable time talking to her, even though there was a lot of nudity involved in the conversation. But so if you're playing along with the drinking game, every time Mel says naked, yeah, nude, nipple.
All I know is I was standing there, and the next thing I heard was running through the woods from a monster covered in glitter naked. I was like, What? What'd she say?
At least it was better than... I'm sure you heard worse when the music stops, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But...
Not that is an interesting sight to behold.
Like I said, but it could have been funnier when the music stops and all you hear is hashtag Matt Burns' O face.
I mean, that was the other thing. You get playing movies all day and there was lots of nakedness on the screen, but it just so happened it was all the girls that were there in the room that were in the movies. At one point I said to the Godfather, I said, yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about being in the same room with me naked on the screen and, you know, being there at the same time with everybody looking at me. And he just goes on some tirade about it, and I was like, yeah, the girl I was talking about was standing right there talking to you. Oh. He said, oh. Okay.
I think for the most part, I wasn't really paying attention to the movies that were going on.
I know.
But every now and again, I would walk...
Behind you, she was taking a shower. In front of you, she was like, hi!
That was the thing. It's like, I'd be talking to somebody, and behind me, there is somebody, at least one woman or another,
every
taking...
Time
it's like
talking
every,
to somebody. That's how it was. We were talking to Sasha, and I was like, hey, butt. There's a butt on the screen.
Yeah, it seemed like every time I turned around, there was somebody taking off... bra and panties, and I'm like I said, I have nothing against seeing a woman naked. It was just like every time I turned around, oh look, tits and ass,
right?
Full frontal. Oh wow, that. So it was fun. It was very interesting.
Is that my accent?
No, you could take even though. Oh. No, we've been doing this for about 26 minutes. Take the next one, 12. Like I said, you can hear all our episodes on Podbean, which are on our Podbean site, which is the Longcoat Mafia Podcast.podbean.com. If you're using an iPhone or an iPad, you could use the Apple Podcast app. I say that because Apple is changing some of their things. But if you don't use the Apple Podcast app, you can still find us on iTunes. Fear not. If you use a simpler, more effective device like an Android phone, you can find us on Google Play Music. And we are on Stitcher Radio. We're on Stitcher Radio. Plus, where most other podcasts are found. I know we're found on like several half dozen podcast apps. We are also found on Facebook.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
That's right, like and subscribe. Yeah, it's been it's been one hell of a month. It's been one hell of a week, folks. Like and subscribe us on like us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/Longcoat Mafia Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio. Yes, I'm working on our YouTube account in reference to setting this up. So if you want to search for us on YouTube, just search for Longcoat Mafia Podcast. You'll find us that way. Our Twitter and our Instagram handles are the same thing, which is Longcoat Mafia. You could always email us you could always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com.
Electric Eye.
Do not email us at Electric Eye. None of those email accounts work anymore.
What was it? 246-8255
Something like that at Comcast, or I think we had three.
Yeah, we did.
But
how does my phone keep ending up under my seat?
I don't know. Maybe it likes your seat.
Maybe it likes my book. I just switched my hand.
But that's it for now, folks. After this will probably be our next hostful, which will mean better audio back at the Daily Grind. It's always appreciated to record there. It's always fun. And what else? I'll see you guys if you want. We'll be at, or at least I'll be at the Martinsburg Public Library at that Pop Culture Show. We'll have a table there June 3rd. Not to mention, we'll have a table at Matt's show in September, which is what, the 8th and 9th? Or 9th and 10th?
Yeah.
More details to follow.
My wife just asked me, she said, when are you coming home? Mind you, it's now 7:30. I said, dropping off Christopher now. But I actually typed because goddamn autocorrect. Dripping of Christopher now.
Oh. Damn you, Apple.
I'm dripping of you.
I'm dripping of you.
Oh, what have we been doing?
It's been a long goddamn day.
I'll say.
Either way, guys, you have fun. And to close out the episode, you want to do it?
Hashtag Matt Burns O-Face.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed listening to that recording that we did on the way back from Halloween. Like I said, I hope you enjoyed it. Again, Matt, if you listened to this episode this far, again, I apologize. Please stay tuned to the end of this episode, because I just put together a brand new ending for the show. Hope you enjoy it as well. If you have any comments about this particular episode or the ending, please email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Also as well, please, if you use iTunes or Apple's podcast app, please subscribe to us there if you haven't already. Rate and review us there. It does help us in ways that you might not realize. It does not increase our standing in the algorithms, but it does help us obtain new listeners. So rate and review us. We will read your reviews on air. What else? Like I said, don't forget to email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Tell us what you think. If you want to, I know iTunes, if you don't like iTunes or Apple products, but use Android products as your mobile device, you can listen to us and subscribe to us on Google Play Music. Get us that way. But before I continue, I know that both iTunes and Google Play Music only go back so far. You can listen to every one of our episodes or download them to your computer to listen to later just by going to our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and get our episodes that way. You can also stream our episodes there, as well as going to Stitcher Radio and looking for our podcast there. Let's see, what else? You could follow us on Twitter by looking up Longcoat Mafia. We are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast. I'm starting to get a Facebook group together for the show, and that way it's easier for you guys to see new episodes and communicate with us better. Back and forth, instead of a lot of the news stuff, it'll give you guys an option. I'll see how that goes. I'll test the waters for that. Let's see what else. Our Instagram handle is Longcoat Mafia, so you could always see what we're up to that way. Let's see what else. We do have a YouTube page, but it's not going to be, we don't have like a youtube.com/longcoatmafia type deal yet, because we don't have that many subscribers to do that. So if you go to YouTube and wish to listen to our shows that way, or see the goofy videos on our unboxing videos, just look up Long Coat Mafia Podcast and you'll be able to find us. See what else? That is about it. So we'll have, at the end of this, you'll hear the new ending. Let's see, that's about it. Thank you, Earl, if you're listening to this and you made it this far. Thank you for having us at the Chocolate Festival. We'll be telling you our listeners more about that during our next Hostful, which will be recorded next week. So, take care, guys, and
see you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.